ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste.
Let's go.
Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Batting six, the first baseman, number 35, Eric Hosmer. Getting a wonderful ovation from the royal faithful.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Friday edition of the Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. We'll talk some baseball today. We'll talk some NFL football today as well. We'll talk some law. We'll get into the law. We'll really break that down. I'm going to hold an entire class today. Professor Briscoe.
Yes.
Doubtful. But we will talk some, you know what? Let's talk some contract law. Let's talk some NFL CBA law, criminal law. Let's do that at some point today. We actually will do that coming up in the noon hour with Dan Lust, who is the co-host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast and also a New York Law School professor. And we'll get his thoughts on what the next steps are with the Deshaun Watson saga in the NFL as they have appealed and now they have assigned Peter Harvey to be the person hearing and then ruling on the appeal. And as most people assume, implementing and instituting the full-year ban, as doing the bidding of what Roger Goodell would do anyway, but to make it seem like he's being more impartial, that he's designated somebody else to then do this while this person has essentially been working for the league for a while. So we'll see what the next steps are with that. Get Dan Lust's thoughts on the overall case, the overall investigation and the ruling and where it goes from here. We'll talk with him coming up in the noon hour. Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus will be our guest at 1 o'clock, and we'll get his thoughts and talk to him about, the Miami tampering scandal, because, you know, he's stationed down in Tampa and he covered the Bucs for a long time as he's moved on to Pro Football Focus and hosting a podcast of the NFL Stock Exchange, which is just a draft podcast. It's great if you like the NFL draft. He's really good, and that podcast is really good. Also, you can read his stuff up at Pro Football Focus. I think a couple of weeks ago he's got a longer story about Deuce Vaughn. At PFF, and Deuce Vaughn sort of bursting onto the scene and now putting himself in the conversation for, you know, moving up the draft board next year for the 2023 draft. So he does a great job covering the draft, but the NFL overall. And so Miami tampering scandal, sort of his thoughts on that whole thing. But of course, getting into the Chiefs and the Chiefs offense and where they go this year, the wide receiver room, a lot of things that I'm curious to talk to him about, the defensive side of the football as well. They also, in one of their more recent episodes, I can't remember which one, but they did a full NFL redraft. So every player available, and they went by this year's 2022's draft order. I will go ahead and give away that the number one pick was Patrick Mahomes.
Chiefs didn't land him in the, 30, 29, 28, kind of down there.
It was unfortunate.
They didn't try to move up to go get him.
Yeah, it turns out the Jags were not willing to give up that draft pick for Patrick Mahomes. So, Mahomes went first, Josh Allen went second, and then they had a conversation about those two, about choosing between those two, and I thought that was interesting. So if we have time, I hope we do, I definitely want to get his thoughts on how close that is, like how close he thinks that discussion, and maybe not just from his opinion, like 32 front offices, because I don't think 32 out of 32 would say we're definitely taking Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what the breakdown would be. I think more of the front offices would go with Mahomes, so he would have the majority. But I certainly think there's going to be a front office or two that would go, well, we just love what Josh Allen does with the legs, and he offers that part of it. He's got the strong arm. He's an ascending player. Maybe we haven't seen the best of Josh Allen, and is Mahomes just going to be, you know, a unicorn the rest of his career where Josh Allen is ascending? Like, I can see where a front office would go that route. I've said before on the air that this attempt to bring the person that is on the level of Patrick Mahomes for the last few years of the younger guys of it's Lamar and Mahomes, and then it's Josh Allen and Mahomes, and then it's Justin Herbert and Mahomes, and it's Joe Burrow and Mahomes. The one constant through all of that has, one, been baseball, Ray, and two, it's been the comparison to Patrick Mahomes. But I've said earlier that if somebody wants to argue Josh Allen, I disagree, but I won't sit there and build an entire case about how that's absurd. Whereas if they want to argue Herbert or Burrow, okay, well, I'm gonna dig my heels in and we'll go at it. Josh Allen, okay, I get it, totally disagree. Here are the reasons why I would go Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think you're off your rocker if you say I'll take Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see.
There are a few things that make this not apples to apples. I understand that, but I think it's funny that every time you talk about Josh Allen, it's like, and he can do it with his legs. That's a huge bonus. And every time you talk about Lamar Jackson, he's like, he's too reliant on his legs, and that's a knock. It's like, there are some differences. They're built different. I know
the passing aspect that Josh Allen has just somehow figured out how to throw accurate passes
in the NFL. After becoming an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. And his first year, he was bad.
Yes,
I mean, his first year in Buffalo, he was, and rookies typically are, but his first year in Buffalo, I mean, he looked like the guy in Wyoming.
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely now he's a guy that's, 73% and, expected completion, over what, it actually was, has continued to go up and up and up for him as well. So we'll talk with him about that and a couple of points on the defense that I want to get into, because it kind of goes in line with what the Chiefs have done, adding in Carlos Dunlap and the rookies. So we'll get into all of that before the show is over. Matt Derrick will be our guest coming up at 11 o'clock. We will talk with him about the Chiefs specifically and training camp and what he's seen and things like that. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. 913-912-4810. We will talk about the Royals, a couple of points from that. There's a tweet out there that Shane told you about that you were laughing and you walked in and you're like, okay, I can't tell you until it's on the air. And I don't know what this is related to. Is it Royals? Is it Chiefs?
No. The initial subject, Matt, this is one of those that you're just going to have to let there. Take your time to find the funny.
Okay.
Because none of it's funny on the surface.
Take your time to find the funny. Okay.
Sometimes, and that's an unofficial tagline of The Zone. It might take a minute, but we'll try to get there.
Somebody was like, what's it like listening to The Zone? Well, you got to take your time to find the funny.
You take your time to find the funny, and maybe eventually it'll come around and sneak up on you. Because this is like three levels deep. But the original topic is Deshaun Watson, which is intrinsically unfunny. This story has sort of an irony to it, but it's not like, ha ha. It's like, oh, kind of depressing. This is the headline: Cleveland hosting National Massage Therapist Convention, one block away from Brown Stadium.
Oh, no.
And that's pretty bad. But then what Shane pointed out.
Oh, no.
Is the website. Could you read the name of the website this is on?
Oh, no. It's Saturday Night Live.
It's the Jeopardy.
Yeah, Jeopardy skit. Therapist.
The URL is therapist.news.
And
but if you're reading a one word URL as a couple of words on this topic, there are a couple of different websites who perhaps could have covered this Deshaun Watson case with their respective URLs.
The point, I think it's sort of the mind being subjective, that when you look at it that way and you know the background is the talk of Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
and you see that website,
mm-hmm.
your mind goes one way, as opposed to if it was, well, there's this hosting over at T-Mobile, they're gonna have this huge physical therapy session and all of these physical therapists from across the country are going to be there. Also, mental health awareness, there's going to be that there as well. And you look at the website, you might think something different immediately when you look at it.
I got nervous. So I started scrolling through therapist.news, and there are stories about outdoor summer recreation therapy.
That's right.
Music
yeah.
therapy.
Helps.
Mental health resources.
Great.
Cancer hormone therapy. Like, there are a lot of medical-based stories here. Hmm. Pet therapy. But in the context of Deshaun Watson, it's less therapist and more of the...
That's, that he is. Wow.
And I just... Wow. It's one of those things that you... It's one of those things that you see and you gasp and then you laugh and then you get really sad again. And that was the process that I went through this morning. I just wanted to share that with you.
I get really sad from the sports side because, you know, I like the saying of don't let sports make you stupid. And any tweet that's out there about Deshaun Watson is immediately replied to by about 50 Browns fans about how this is all BS and, you know, ridiculous and he shouldn't have been suspended at all. And it's just you change the jersey and none of those people would feel that way.
Oh, yeah. It is all the laundry determines that. I mean, we see that all the time.
Hate that.
Which is honestly... I'm going to go ahead left turn into something more positive so I don't get
Great.
Stuck here.
Let's do that.
The audio in the intro today is Eric Hosmer
That's
coming
right.
back to Kauffman Stadium in another team's colors and another team's laundry and being treated like a world champion Kansas City Royal.
That's exactly
and
right.
Gosh darn it, when you get those moments, that makes you feel a little better about the sickness that sports can occasionally impart on people because you go through that whole process. Hosmer leaves, gets his money, goes to another new team, even since then, obviously, just a little bit ago with the trade of the Red Sox, and then comes back to Kauffman with the ovation. And if anyone hasn't seen the picture of Salvador Perez just cheesing as hard as anyone has ever cheesed as Hosmer's walking up to the plate.
Mm-hmm. And the hug. I mean,
just great moments on great moments. So there's my palate cleanser for you.
I thought it was really cool the way that it was handled, while also being annoyed at the same time.
Oh, okay. Why were you annoyed?
Because my wife and I were going to the August 26th Friday night game with the Padres. I say were because I don't know that we're still going to go that night.
Yeah.
Because we were going to go that night and the 27th because the 27th is the I Love the 90s concert.
Yes, there, I saw that.
Which we're going to.
Good.
But we also got tickets for the 26th because it was Hosmer's return to Kansas City and she... has an affinity for it. She thinks he's a looker. She likes Eric Hosmer. Our first pet that we had together was named Hosmer. After
that's pretty good.
Not Eric Hosmer. After some other person.
We just
randomly.
What kind of pet?
It was a cat.
Okay, you said was. So that makes me think.
Well, it is a cat. The cat turned on my wife when she got pregnant. And started attacking her.
Oh!
And
so the cat is still alive.
We had to then give it up.
It's just not with you.
We had
okay,
to give it
well,
to a, we gave it to a no-kill shelter.
You traded it to Boston
That's
and
exactly,
said...
San Diego first.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
That's
now it's
true.
Been traded to Boston. But
huh.
yes, the cat turned... I mean, Hosmer would wait around the corner. And we didn't have him declawed. Hosmer would wait around the corner. And as my wife would walk, he would jump out and try to scratch her legs. Then
why did Hosmer's view of your wife change so much when she got pregnant?
Look, man.
I wish we could ask Hosmer that.
Nature. Well, look, can somebody interview him tonight? You know, can somebody out there?
I don't know if you
Lynn,
do microchip. Do microchip?
Can
Hosmer?
Somebody? Can somebody text? Can you text Alec Lewis and have him ask Hosmer tonight why Hosmer the cat turned on my wife? There's something with nature.
Oh, you're
and, like,
talking
this,
about the cat. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was very confused.
Yeah, it is odd that Eric Hosmer would hide around the corner in Louisville to then
to
jump out
at
my
wife. Did you guys look into that? Is that like a thing that cats do
it's like
sometimes?
It's like a scent. It's
really?
Like a, it's like a something to where it's like, okay, is this now a person that's supposed to be in the house? And then when we had Everett, the cat was still doing that. And then also a little bit towards the baby, which was not a good idea for him. And we decided, let's go ahead and make this decision now before Everett sort of starts realizing this is like a his pet.
Yes.
And then he starts to miss it.
Yeah, it's good. Good work. That's smart.
So we had to make a decision, and we had to just let Hosmer walk in free agency.
Sometimes you gotta let the ones you love most go, and that was the case for Hosmer in multiple occasions. I'm now reading 8 reasons why cats attack pregnant women.
See?
I didn't know this was the thing. I'm deathly allergic to cats. I like the cats I've been around just fine. I'm not anti-cat by any means, but I've just always, my family's always had dogs. Renee got Scout the dog, which has now become our dog. I'm a dog person at this point.
I'd rather have dogs than cats.
I don't think I've ever heard of a dog turning on a pregnant woman. That for me is, I don't know that I've ever heard. Maybe they get territorial whenever there's a new baby around or something.
Jed Marshall, known cat lover.
He is the reason that I am afraid to be anti-cat on any level.
He has texted in and said, sounds like a wife problem, not a cat problem. Also, to the text line, not the secret backdoor text line to my personal phone, but to the text line, 913-912-4810. It's why I love the listeners so much of this show. The first 3 texts that came in, more are coming in as well, but different. The first 3 that have come in is the dog named Mitch. Jason, was your next pet named Mitch? Jason, why didn't Mitch help your wife out? I love you guys so much. I really do. Even though that is mean. No, we don't have another pet since then. Okay? And it wouldn't be named Mitch. And Mitch didn't help my wife because we lived in a different city. Okay? And enough with that! Okay? There's nothing there! Nothing there! I don't know why people just assume this. Just because when we had Mitch Holtis on weekly, he would somehow talk about my wife often in the interviews, which is how this whole thing started. But it's great. But yes, yeah, so
he just puts the hammer down, baby. I don't know what to tell you, man. There's some things you just
is huge. So yeah, I was a little annoyed last night. It was awesome, loved it, but a little annoyed because we were going to be there on August 26th on that Friday night when the Padres were coming into town.
Padres, still fun baseball. Arguably more fun baseball now. You have traded out Eric Hosmer for Juan Soto.
Right, we'll go.
But that's not why you were going.
Right.
You weren't going to see.
She may not want to go now. You know? Yeah. So we're going Saturday.
Have you showed her pictures of Juan Soto?
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Not interested?
No,
okay.
No.
All right.
So I may be going like with somebody else.
Okay.
Or, you know, because we hadn't bought the tickets yet for that. So we just may not even go at all.
Well, look, if you want to just go with someone, here's what I'm willing to say. I would be willing to go with you if what you need is just for me to try to make you feel small. Maybe I talk about how handsome all the players are.
Yeah.
Don't really talk to you directly. Kind of just shout like my phone number to players just to kind of get. I want you to have the experience. Beards could probably do that also. Beards can you know, be the one that makes you feel insufficient, you know, in front of not your wife in that instance, but hopefully a sold out Kauffman Stadium, if nothing else.
Yeah. I do wonder how many tickets have been sold for that Padres game already. For that Friday night,
I get a T-shirt that says "I'm here because Jason." It's gonna have small text, but it'd say "I'm here because Jason's wife wanted to see Eric Hosmer, but instead she's in Boston right now, and we don't have any other further details."
913.
It's a lot of text, but I fit it on there. I got a lot of.
It's a lot. Yes, it's a very odd shirt. It's not one that you can just randomly buy at a store.
No,
did you get that from Dillard's?
That'll be a custom.
Is that a Rally House shirt?
It might just be a.
Does that
Sharpie.
Come in different colors?
I bet Rally House can make that happen.
All right, 913-912-4810. But Eric Hosmer returned to Kansas City last night. It was really cool, and it did bring back memories. And I do wonder sort of what it was like for him. I know we talked about that. It was odd that he's, you know, having all these memories just flood back to him when he arrives in Kansas City and then going down to the plaza and then heading to the stadium and things like that. Like, yeah, I can imagine what that was like when you've been in the organization for that long and been a part of a team for that long and been the face of a franchise for that long. And you have those banners hanging out there, the flags that are flying because you were such a big part of that. Obviously it was an entire team, but you were such a big part, the face of that team. When people think back to that 2015 World Series, I think a lot of people might remember, you know, Hosmer's mad dash home you know, and against the Mets in Game 5. I mean, that's one of the first things that comes to mind. Alex Gordon's home run in Game 1 against Familia, one of the things that comes to mind, right? So, you know, Escobar's leadoff home run, Syndergaard throwing at Escobar's head, you know, to start a game. There's a lot of things that come to mind, but one of those certainly, when you think of the faces of that team, it's Eric Hosmer. And so seeing him back in Kansas City last night was really awesome. It was a cool moment, and he looks the same. Right.
He really does.
Salvi's out there. You know, those two are standing next to each other. And you're like, you know, Salvi and Hosmer are there. And I'm thinking back that little man is going into first grade starting a week from today. And he was born 5 days after the Royals won the World Series.
Wow.
And he starts first grade in 7 days. And they beat the Mets that night in New York. And 5 days later, he was born. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah.
While also at the same time feeling like he should be a high schooler.
Yes.
Because it has also felt like it's been that long when you're living through the losses and the 100-loss team and the 100-loss team and then a pandemic year, and then they're going to be ready to start competing in a season that, you know, was awful. And then they're going to compete in 2022 and then pacing for 100 losses. Like, it feels like it's been so long, and it feels like Hosmer has been in San Diego for like 10 years.
It really does.
But also, it feels like, dang, you see Hosmer back. You're like, it was just like it was yesterday that you were watching Hosmer play first base. And then to, you know, we talked about Prado and has some Hosmer in him defensively. And then to see Hosmer sort of step over the bag while catching it and drag his right foot on the bag. They called him safe. They reviewed it. The player was out. As soon as they called him safe, he looked over to the Red Sox. Doug, I was like, review that. I had my foot there. Just like that small little footwork just for so long, just taking for granted when you see him do those things. So it was nice to see him back. And then also a deep fly ball to the wall.
Beards and I are watching Bullet Train during this game. So, you know, I only have some of the details. I do have a great review of Bullet Train whenever you need it, though. We had a great time at the end.
I was going to ask you at some point today about what that was, how it was last night and the trivia.
I'll file that away for later.
Yeah.
One other part, I think the timing of it all, you're so right about, because, like you said, he looks the same. Salvi's still behind the plate smiling at him. And in a lot of ways, because that really was the last era of Royals baseball that had a clear definition. You had two World Series appearances, the win, and then the guys start kind of scattering. But that's the last like concrete Royals moment that I think most of us probably have. You might have the Whit Merrifield era, which is, I think, what you have to call for everything from now.
But is there a moment to where you go, Whit Merrifield, what do you think of? Go.
No, absolutely not. And they also weren't winning during that time.
Exactly.
Which, again, isn't Merrifield's fault. He just was probably the... He was a differentiating factor between the previous class.
Mike Sweeney. He's a best player on a bad team.
Yeah.
Or one of the best players on bad teams.
Yeah, he might be Mike Sweeney. That's a pretty good, I think it's a pretty good pull. But the other part with Hosmer, when I think back to the World Series teams, Lorenzo Cain was probably the best player on that team. Alex Gordon is probably the most beloved player on that team. Salvi, obviously, you know, especially at this point, you've seen that more so. But at the time, I think it was Alex Gordon. Mike Moustakas was incredibly important to that team. But Eric Hosmer was the attitude. He's who I think of doing the backpack, you know, like that type of the extra flavoring on an organization, on a team, on a run that you go back and you remember. Like, he was the closest thing the Royals had to Travis Kelce, I think, of someone where you say, hey, there's like a step beyond what his stardom could become. And if he would have gone somewhere other than San Diego or played better in San Diego, maybe he would have hit it. Maybe he could have been Mark Teixeira if he would have ended up in New York and had played some great baseball in Yankee Stadium. I don't know. But for Kansas City, it felt like he was very often, again, the attitude or the energy of that team that had a lot of great and important pieces. I still think Hosmer kind of stands out from that group, despite you could pick anywhere between, I don't know, one and four or five in terms of his importance. And I think you could have a reasonable take for a lot of those. And still, he stands above in my memory a lot.
The attitude part is really interesting because the way he carried himself with that team for so long, Royals fans, and it seemed like Royals players, and the organization were trying to be the little engine that could.
Yeah.
And always swimming upstream and trying to catch the cool kids.
Right.
And, you know, they're in high school and their clique is like, you know, not as cool as the kids over there. And like, oh, that'd be cool. And they're like, oh, you know, kind of appease them a little. Oh, you want to come over? That's fine. You can come hang out
a
little bit.
For
right.
A couple seasons.
But you know you're not in this group, okay? And then Hosmer, and that group overall, because it can't just be one player. It's that group overall. It's Lorenzo Cain, how good he was. It's Salvi, what he was turning into be. It was Moustakas. It was Hosmer as well. But Hosmer just had a cockiness to him.
Yeah.
Like a swagger of just like, I know I'm hot bleep.
Right.
I know I'm hot Shane.
Right.
And I'm, you know, and I don't care what you think of me. And I think a lot of the players probably took on that persona. And I think the city and Royals fans started taking on that persona because, you know, it's like, you know what? This team is damn good.
Yeah.
And in the 14 World Series or the 14 playoffs, it did feel like this is improbable. This is, I cannot believe we're going on this magical ride that's like a once in a lifetime type deal. And then it struck midnight and the carriage turned into a pumpkin.
Right.
And the third out in the ninth inning happened of game seven. But that next year, it was the first time I can ever remember that the team I rooted for was the best team in the American League, and I knew it. And they were a team that I felt they need to go and win the World. They now have the pressure on them to show that they're good enough to go and win the World Series. Last year was not a fluke. This is a damn good team. And then went out there and acted like that and played like that. And Hosmer was a big part of it. Just kind of a bleep you, and I know my Shane doesn't stink, and so that's the way I'm going to go about it. No, by the way, that cool click over there, we'll let you guys hang out from time to time.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of that. That's what I think that group of players did for the city and did for the organization, and obviously the memories and the flags and the title, all a big deal. But, I mean, there's the group of players in the 70s and 80s with Royals fans that they'll have in their memories for a long time. And there's this group of players for the newer age, younger generation Royals fans. Unfortunately, there's a long gap in between. And God, I hope there's not a long gap after. That it's not the 70s and 80s group that you remember. And then this group we're talking about. And then who knows after that? I don't know. But you're right. Hosmer, was he the best player? Was he the best hitter? Was he all of these things? But he's kind of like the face of sort of that. Might be the third or fourth best player, but is he the guy you go to, sort of that leader of the pack that that is kind of cocky and is like, no, we've arrived and we're good enough and we know we're good enough and we're going to have that swag and you can't come and bully us around. You know why? Because we're going to fight you.
Right.
Because we'll get in fights. You know why? Because we're cocky now. We know we're good. We've been trying to see if we're good enough. We know we're good. And don't try to test us because we're not going to be the kids that get bullied anymore. Okay, we're going to fight back. Literally, if that's what it takes. We will go from being the beloved Royals and scrappy team to, this team's kind of freaking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Who do they think they are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not, it was a cool, fun story last year. But you're the Royals. Find your place, man. And that group of players refused to. And that was awesome. And it's one of the really cool points of last night, seeing that. The standing ovation, and just every time Hosmer was up at the plate, seeing his parents as well, that the broadcast showed, I thought was really cool. So we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Something tangible from the Royals from last night, not just resurfacing memories from yesteryears, but something tangible about now moving forward with this organization from last night. We'll get into and talk about that on the other side of the break. We'll talk with Matt Derrick at 11 o'clock, some Chiefs football. Daniel Lust, he is from the co-host of Conduct Detrimental Podcast, New York Law School professor as well, talking about the latest developments in the Deshaun Watson case. And then Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus, talking some Chiefs and some NFL. All that's still to come. It's a Friday edition of The Zone. We continue rolling along with more next.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson.
All right, we take a timeout. We come back. We wrap up this hour next. Do we not wrap up this hour?
No,
next?
You still have. That was your. This is your last segment, buddy.
You're not used to this.
To being. Oh,
you're not used to this. You took a break. You took a break way early.
That's way too early for a break.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh. Tech says, it was Draw Dyson that had the swag of the team. Haas was the pretty face of the team. I think Draw Dyson certainly had some swag, but you needed to be an everyday player to have that. And Hosmer absolutely had the swag. Hosmer had the, I'm walking up to the plate and I'm, you know, I'm a badass.
Dyson was absolutely, that's what speed do. And the the vroom vroom of it all absolutely belongs to Draw Dyson. No question whatsoever there. I am continuing to bang the drum on behalf of Eric Hosmer being the Travis Kelce energy of those Royals. Now it's not quite the same, but it's close.
He was also the pretty face of the team. I mean, so he was also
just
that.
Like Travis Kelce.
Yeah, no, good I don't. Wow, yeah, no, I. I everything you've said I thought was just you continuing to agree with me more and more because I think
absolutely.
That's
yeah.
That the kind of bleep you the you know, maybe a referee throws a flag and you make a hand gesture, maybe the ump calls you out and you throw a knowing glare in his general direction. I'm just saying I think that Eric Hosmer and Travis Kelce share some similar sports DNA. I don't know that they're related, but you know,
Metaphorically speaking. Yes. Tech says, I had tickets to the Friday night Padres game also. Thought I was the only one annoyed with the trade because others in our group have all the Red Sox games tickets. Yeah. Probably one of those groups that gets season tickets and then splits them, does like a draft.
Yeah.
My brother does that.
Ooh, doing that as a draft is great. I like that a lot.
It's a great idea. So, yeah.
Boy, it's good. But
if you looked ahead and you were like, Padres, August, yes. I'm taking that Friday night game.
That's a high draft pick. But also, you're going to have teams. Yeah, I'm going to keep it. You're going to have people/teams who have some games not on their draft board at all because maybe they're going to be out of town or whatever. So you gotta do your research. That's kind of fun. I like the idea of doing a draft with some stakes to it that way.
Tech says, hey, guys, can you please give a quick shout-out to my buddy Jay Cullinan, number one faithful Zone listener in Baltimore, Maryland. What's up, Jay?
Shout out to Jay.
He is the number one, and we did a study on this over a course of 6 months, and Jay did win. He is the number one faithful Zone listener in Baltimore, Maryland. That's a very tough group to ascend to the top of. But what is up, Jay? Texas, Locaine was the real leader of those teams, not Haas. Well, I think everybody had different roles.
Leader, though.
Yeah, different roles.
I feel like I've made some people upset about the other players on this team. I'm saying that team has 4, 5, 6 different arguments for best player, most important player, leader, face, energy, whatever. I think Hosmer is sort of the sort of the swagger of it.
Texas, JFC, you two sound like the geeks everyone picked on. That was a GD psychiatry session. It was like a 6-minute Freudian slip. Well, a couple things.
Yeah, first of all, that's not what a Freudian slip is.
I would say look up Freudian slip.
Yeah. Do your best to learn anything about Freud.
Yeah.
Call your parents, man. Or don't.
Probably. And it's one of two things. That's the texter who was triggered by hearing those things and immediately went back to high school when he got picked on. Or it was the guy who did the bullying and now just sucks at life and the people that he used to bully and pick on are now his bosses.
Yeah, well, so here, listen. Hey,
it's
Dexter,
one of those two things, I'm assuming.
We're going to good cop, bad cop this. So, Jason, you can be bad cop for this text.
I like being good cop, though.
You called him a loser or got picked on.
I said
on
it's
whatever.
One of the two.
You call him a loser. I'm going to go the other direction.
One of the two. I didn't say he was a loser.
Texter.
I didn't say he definitely was.
When you were.
Just because the people you picked on now are your bosses doesn't mean that you're a loser. You could be second in line of running Google. Doesn't make you a loser, but whoever is running it could be the person you picked on. That's all I'm saying.
Texter, when you were in the womb, did you later learn that your family sent away your family's beloved cat because they turned against your mother and really turned against you in a way that made you feel responsible for the loss of your family's beloved pet? Have you carried that tension, that stress, that guilt with you through your life all the way to this point? Have you ever considered what those feelings may lead to? Have you ever read anything by Sigmund Freud? Did you know his first name was Sigmund? Have you tried dissecting any of these issues? Have you tried therapy? You just sort of threw the phrase therapy session out there in a very derogatory way, Texter. And I'm frankly, Texter, I'm worried about you.
Now we've got an issue in Maryland.
Oh, is there another Maryland texter?
Text in 913-912-4810 says, I call BS on Jay's title. He can have Baltimore. Nobody wants it anyway. I'll take the zone fandom title for all of Maryland.
Wow.
Melvin. Melvin in Maryland.
I think, well, boy, Maryland Melvin really rolls off the tongue. I having alliteration, Baltimore J is not quite as good.
I also like the trash talk along with, he can have Baltimore. Nobody wants it anyway. I'll take the entire state.
That's beautiful.
Of Maryland.
I feel like I'm going to try to get to know, you know, the existing zone fans better, the ones that have been here longer than I have, and really help them try to unpack some things. Hey, you know, Baltimore, I'm sure if you're from Baltimore, you have a lot of pride there. If you'd have the rest of Maryland, you guys can coexist. It's okay.
By the way, the text that came in earlier that I didn't see, this is great. Because you were at the movie, so you may not have seen this.
I almost certainly didn't.
Tech says, how about the patented Haas dive into first base when he would have been safe had he run through the bag?
Did that happen last night?
Yeah, it happened last night.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so great.
I got to find a highlight.
He did that, and I was like, there it is.
He did the thing.
He did it just for old time's sake.
If anybody asked him that after the game, I bet there was a little bit of, I just wanted to feel the Kauffman first base dirt in my beard again.
He did that. You know he did that for nostalgia purposes.
Had to.
I mean, he swings and the ball's going down the first base line and he's running. Bubich picks it up and tosses it to Dozier. And of course, Hosmer has got to slide head first and get that hand in there. It was a little late. I don't think he would have been safe either way, but it was great that he did that.
By the way, we were talking earlier about comparing Travis Kelce and Eric Hosmer. We have a comment on the Twitch stream. Is Christian Colon then Dirty Dan?
Oh, wow. Dirty Dan.
That's not, well, here's the thing, because when we talk about Dan Sorensen, we've got to remember the good times. And in the good times sense, Christian Colon being Dirty Dan is a pretty good shout.
What about Terrence Gore? Because Terrence Gore had big moments but wasn't a main part of it. Had big moments in big games that you remember him for certain things, but then as he stayed around, it was just like, this guy's not good enough anymore.
That would be like Terrence Gore playing outfield 8 out of 9 innings is the problem with that scenario.
Yeah. But right, if he stayed around and then he was like an everyday player, you're right from that standpoint. But I'm just thinking, like, you want to remember Terrence Gore for all the good things because he was awesome, but he didn't do a whole lot. He had some impactful plays, but not a whole lot, and he was a beloved figure at that time. But then as he stayed around, he just wasn't good, you know? It's not a good comparison. It's not great.
I think that might make him DeMarcus Robinson.
No, because Terrence Gore didn't run backwards.
I think. As an outfielder, he probably should have more. That actually might have helped.
Although
he insisted at starting on the warning track and only ever running forward, which I'm not sure is the right track.
Although, could Terrence Gore have stolen second base running backwards?
Yes.
I think there's a chance.
Yes, I think absolutely.
Tech says Terrence Gore equals Mecole Hardman or Nile Davis.
Nile Davis might be it.
Really?
Nile Davis is good.
Why?
Yeah, because
he wasn't on a championship team.
Well, that's
Nile Davis didn't play for the. I'm talking about the Super Bowl winning team.
I'm on the Super Bowl roster again now, and that's.
Plus, Nile Davis fumbled all the time. Like, Nile Davis, big moment on the kickoff return. Houston absolutely got it started, and it was like, okay, they're finally going to break this stretch.
Do you know D'Anthony Thomas has a Super Bowl ring from the Chiefs? I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was on the team for a little bit, right?
Yeah, for 6 games that year.
Yep,
wearing number 84. Apparently, I have no memory of him wearing 84. Sammy Watkins was too good. I don't know. I love the cross sport effort we're making here now.
I enjoy this as well. We should spend the entire show except for when we talk to Matt Derrick, Daniel Lust, and Trevor Sikma.
Matt Derrick will give us the right answer. Actually,
is Sammy Watkins Alex Rios?
No,
Sammy Watkins. Can Sammy Watkins be the combo of Aoki and Rios?
No, he's Ben Zobrist.
No, I don't think he's Ben Zobrist.
I think he's Ben Zobrist.
No.
They played roughly the same percentage of the time, even though Zobrist is only here for half a season.
T. Suggs is Ben Zobrist.
That comment was also made.
T. Suggs is comes Suggs. Over.
Ben Zobrist was so much more impactful than Terrell Suggs was, though.
Terrell Suggs comes over and plays second half of the season and helps out, right? T-Suggs was 19, right? Or was he 20?
Yeah, yeah, no, he was 19.
I got really confused very quickly. I'm like, I'm pretty sure T-Suggs was on that, but I started to doubt myself.
No, but it just,
I know that Zobrist was way more impactful than
Suggs. Is he Tyrann Mathieu?
He had four, Terrell Suggs in those playoffs had four tackles.
Yeah?
And a pass defended.
Those were big tackles. Do you remember them? I don't either. But I'm just saying, like, the only comparison there is that, you know, they traded for him.
He's mid-season. Jabba Chamberlain.
Jabba was on?
I don't know, actually. He's on the... I just saw his name, and I got very happy because Jabba Chamberlain was... I was literally yesterday thinking, was Jabba Chamberlain briefly a Royal? He has no stats, but he is on the roster here of the 2015 Royals.
Of course he was. Of course Jabba was that guy. All right, 913-912-4810. Texas, Sammy is Christian Colon.
Can Sammy be Johnny Cueto?
This is an interesting one. It says, Sammy is Christian Colon. One big catch slash hit. So, I mean...
I don't know.
Toasting Seymour is what you remember. When you think of Sammy Watkins, what do you think of?
I think of
toasting Richard Seymour running down.
And the touchdown in the AFC Championship game. He had two huge moments against the Titans. Or the clinching play against the Titans was Sammy Watkins.
That's one of them. The first thing I think of is the play against Richard Seymour.
Sure, but he's got at least two clutch moments.
Christian Colon has two clutch moments.
Richard Seymour.
Sorry.
You did it like three times now.
I did it three times.
I didn't catch
four
it
times.
Even once.
Yes. I'll keep saying it from now on, by the way.
I'm not Cologne's here for disrespecting Sammy Watkins. I think I'll disrespect Beards every time he tells us to take a break.
But. By the way, the text coming in now, Richard Seymour? That would be a Freudian slip. If I was actually thinking of something from the Patriots or the Raiders or
if
something.
If you
like
called
that.
Him like Richard P. Moore, it might be a Freudian slip. But there's got to be something phallic related to it, which I don't think the original texter picked up on.
Yes, Richard Sherman.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Because Christian Colon had the big hit, and he also got drafted. Those are the two big moments that happened with Christian Colon in his Royals career. does that make Bubba Starling, Breland Speaks?
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Nice job, Josh.
Nice job, Dylan.
Nice job, Christopher. Way to go, Beards.
Thank you.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You want Jabba Chamberlain stats or Vince Scully stats, Jason?
Yes.
Quick, how many innings did Jabba Chamberlain pitch for the 2015 Royals?
Two-thirds.
Beards.
69.
5 2/3 total innings.
I had the two-thirds part.
His ERA just under 8. You want a Vince Scully stat?
Yes.
From Brian A. Graham, Vince Scully's first year on Dodger games was Connie Mack's last as a manager. There wasn't a baseball season from 1886 through 2016 without one or the other working in it.
That's amazing.
1886!
It's a long time ago. Text says to the other two Maryland listeners, want to fight for zone listener superiority. That's Jason in Frederick, Maryland. Jay, and Melvin. They're going to meet somewhere and fight it out for number one. Matt Derrick next. Good luck.